Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for this new year. Lord, thank you for taking care of all our needs. And thank you for your word, the Holy Spirit, and for Jesus above all. We just open ourselves up to you, to your word. And we ask you, Lord, that you just give us understanding and revelation, that we may appropriate all the good things that you have done for us. We just praise you and thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this is 2020. It's interesting, you know, 2020 generally means, you know, that it's used to for vision. And I really felt that that was something we had to look at. Okay, our vision is important. What we believe, and not just in terms of agreeing mentally, is what we really believe inside ourselves, a projection, as a view of where we are going. That is important, and I've been praying for this in the last few weeks, because this is not just a new year. This is a new decade. Okay, so this is an important change that takes place with generally a group of years. Okay, and as I was praying, the scripture was quickened to me by the Holy Spirit, which I knew and I'm very familiar with. But it's Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, you know, I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Now, I know I'm known this scripture, and I quote this scripture, I memorize this scripture, and I'm familiar with this. But sometimes, you know, we are familiar with scriptures, and, we get them and say, oh, well, I know it. And that's not, we never know it enough. You know, when the Holy Spirit quickens to you a scripture, generally there is something else that you had to get. And you had to get the revelation of what that is. And I was looking at it and I said, Lord, I know I like this scripture. I blessed be this scripture, but, you know, there is more than what I got. And immediately he gave me some understanding. And I said, okay, I'm going to check it out. And I went to the Greek, the Hebrew, and I started to look into it. And I was confirmed what I was getting. So I'm going to share some about that, because it fits with some of the things that we actually been talking about in the last couple of weeks, at least in the last week. You know, the thing is, you know, in the scripture there is always more than what we got already. And we had to make that assumption and be open to receive that more. Because the only way to receive it is to be open. See, there is no other way to get new revelation. New revelation doesn't come because you hit it by mistake. You get new revelation when you are wanting it, when you are seeking it, when you are opening yourself up and you are asking for it. Okay? See, I think this is it's talking about perfect peace. And that's not the whole story. It's just the translation in English. It's more there, number one. See, sooner or later, doesn't matter what, everybody faces crisis. Because that's the way we are in this world. And this world is always it's difficult to do, even for believers. There are things coming up that you have to deal with, and they're going to affect you. And, sometimes the only way out is a miracle. And you have to be ready to receive a miracle. Okay, you have to be prepared, okay? If you remember when Jesus sent after, fed 5,000 people, actually were probably 20,000, but, you know, if you consider children and women and so on, and then send the apostles to go across the, as he was praying up the mountain, he sent the apostles to go to the other side of the sea. And he prayed. And then they went, and you know, the sea is not very wide. You know, I think it's 7.2 miles, something like that. So it shouldn't take too much for a boat to get from one side to the other. But it took five or six hours after that they were there. They were just about halfway through. And there was a storm, a tempest, and they were scared because these were fishermen. So, you know, you don't get the fishermen scared unless really the situation is bad. And the situation was bad, and they were thinking that probably they were going to sink and die there. Okay, so they were afraid. And that is when Jesus appeared to them and said, be of good cheer. You know, he didn't say, I'm going to fix you up. He didn't say, you know, be of good cheer. I mean, you know, this is, be of good cheer. There's a tempest around here. You know, we're going to drown. You know, I mean, this doesn't make much sense in a way. But this is really his attitude, show you something. See, we can be of good cheer. Even when the wind and the waves and the situation is critical, because he's there with us. Amen. And he's going to help us through if we connect with him. Now, I'm not going to preach on that event that took place then. We probably will sometime soon. But the idea that I'm going to say is that our attitude, our position is important. Okay, when you trust in him, and this is part of the scripture I just finished reading before, you know, when you trust in him, he will lead you to things beyond your abilities, to be able to do things that you think you cannot do, okay, to get your miracle if it's needed, okay, and if you look at the Bible, all the stories in the Bible, this was a normal thing for people there. Okay, it was happening all the time. And I really think, you know, it's the same for us. Nothing has changed. The Bible that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God operates always the same way. And so we can expect the same thing. Essentially, we are talking about walking and moving in a dimension which is not naturally supernatural. And we have to understand that that is not automatic. It just doesn't happen because we got born again maybe 15 years ago or even 5 days ago. You have a part you play in getting there, in actually activating your faith and receiving from God. Okay, so the idea is though that one of the things you have to remember that if we are born again, you are a new creation. That means you are not a normal human anymore. Okay? Your spirit is different from everybody else that is not born again. Okay? Inside there is the presence of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit to enable you to operate in the supernatural dimension, the same way as Jesus did. And, you know, unless we remember that, when we are going to be in a situation which we have seen no solution, we, like the people there in the tempest that they were saying, we are going to drown. Unless we get to the place in which we realize that inside us is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, after 3 days that he was dead. And he's there for a purpose, and the purpose is to make us overcome the situation we are facing. And unless we get to the place in which we realize that, and his presence to us, see the scripture that we had just finished reading to you, you know, because he trusts in you. Trusting in God is faith. But you know, the moment in which you don't trust and you're getting fearful about the situation, is not operating, because faith doesn't fear anything. So we have to understand ourselves. We have to understand the way we work. We have to understand the way the supernatural power of God works in us to help us to deal with the situation at hand that we have. And I believe that in this day we need this more and more. Okay? We need to understand. Okay? And, you know, and realize, be aware of the presence of God inside us and to cooperate with Him, to let Him guide you and empower you to overcome. Doesn't matter what the situation is. But, you know, you don't learn to do that with a big problem. You learn to do that with a small problem. You have to apply your faith for small things so that when the big things come, and they sometime or another are going to, you are going to be able to act and learn and operate according to the experience you already have to break through. Are you following me? You know, what's his name of the guy there? You know, one of the famous minister in past, the name doesn't come at the moment, said, you know, and he was able to never ask any money for anybody, and he was able to collect large amount of money for orphanages in England, and you probably know him at the moment. George Miller, thank you. You see, just we work together. Amen. And you know, he said you start asking God to provide a pair of socks, and then you make that grow. Okay, so this is what we had to learn to do. Now, when we are in situation, the first thing we have to do is to ask for wisdom, to ask what to do, how you handle what's going on. Okay, we read this scripture before, but I'm going to read it again because it's critical, it's important for the other things that we're going to do later on. James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, that means he doesn't know what to do in the situation. See, wisdom is the ability to know what you have to do given the circumstances you are in. Let him ask of God, who gives to us to all liberally, without reproach. That means he's not going to say, well, you don't know it. Hello? He's willing to tell us and give us the direction that we need. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. Okay? And will it will be given to him. So the idea is that this is a promise. You ask and it will be given to you. I mean, that's the first thing you have to believe. I mean, if you ask not believing that you're going to get anything and you're going to, what am I going to do, God? That kind of an attitude is not going to get you anywhere. You know, sometimes people say, you know, just have to pray and God is going to do something. Well, it depends the way you pray. So the idea is you have to pray with the right attitude in expectation. You had to believe, you trust him, because he said he's going to tell you. If you don't believe he's going to tell you, then you're wasting your breath. Do something else. Go and ask somebody else. Because evidently you don't trust God to give you the information that you need. All right? Verse 6. But then let him ask in faith, and that's what I was saying, not with not doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So he's going to go. You know, the idea is to understand what doubt is. Doubt is wavering. There is a difference, and generally people don't recognize this difference, but this is important to understand this. There is a difference between unbelief and doubt. Doubt is somebody that one moment believe, the next moment look at the waves and say, oh, I'm going to drown. So he just moves back and forth between believing God and not believing God. That's doubt. Now, there is the other thing, this unbelief, that actually is believing something, and is believing something contrary to what God says. Yeah. All right? So those are two different things. Now, the Bible in Hebrews talks about the evil art of unbelief. So, you know, you take the position within yourself against what God said. And so that is evil. Doubt is not that evil. It's just fleshy. Okay, it's because your senses and your situation control you a moment, and one moment you believe God, the next moment you just are influenced and go under your situation. So your senses are the problem, which is really the flesh. Okay, now it's not the same degree as sin, but it's dangerous, is destroying, makes your faith useless, because counteract your faith and doesn't make it work anymore. You cannot doubt and win. I didn't say that, even if I said it. Verse 7. For let not that man suppose that you will receive anything from the Lord. You see, that the problem there, that we suppose we receive from the Lord because one moment we believe. Are you with me? But next moment we don't believe anymore and we destroy everything we believed before. We have to be holding that position in our heart. Now that doesn't mean that thoughts cannot come to our mind. But you have to see the way you respond to the thoughts. See, temptation can come. You don't need to give in to temptation. Just because a thought comes to you, you know, if you take it, you see, that's the thing. If you take it, then you, at that moment, you're actually receiving it and standing for that. You should say no. And when your position is strong enough, when you are prepared, when you are based already on the word, and when you are strongly taking that position, then you are not going to be moved, even in the thought that it's not going to work. Okay? All right. See, that's the starting point. So the thing is, you know, believing and not doubt, okay, is going to produce the difference. Starting with what? Starting with having the wisdom to know what to do. I mean, at that moment, it's not the miracle yet. It's just the question that you receive from God, the direction you need to bring about the miracle if you need one. Sometimes you don't need a miracle. You just need to do the right thing. But the fact is that when you have prepared yourself, and when you have experience about receiving from God, when the only thing you have to do is to act on what he's telling you, then when you have to do something that is so crazy that is completely not natural anymore, then you are ready to go ahead and do it without fear, because you know that you know that you know that you got information from a higher source. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why sometimes people, you know, believe God for healing, and they die. And you know, people are telling them, well, I don't know how that possible. Well, you know, they were wavering. And it's human to do that. I'm not saying that one has to put a person down because of that. But the thing is, that is going to hinder them from receiving. You know, what people say is not necessarily what's going on inside them. It's not, you know, sometimes it's not even necessarily what you think, because of what is really there. All right. So, 2020 vision. We need a clear revelation. I mean, clear vision of what we can expect, what is there, what the meaning, what God's plan are for us, and to embrace it, to believe it, to stand with it, strength. You know, in Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, but, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. You see, the question of vision sometimes is translated also revelation. Really, it's the same thing. I mean, when you have a vision of where God wants to bring you, when you have a view of what your destiny is, that is going to guide you and direct you in your path. When you know the vision of what is right and what is wrong, then you are not going to deviate from the path that you have to take. But if you have not clear that direction that you had to take, then you're going to perish because you are not going to follow anymore the direction that the Lord has given you. So we need to receive understanding and revelation. And you know, that is, you can be all the religious as much as you want. If you don't receive the direction from God personally, it's not going to work. It's going to maybe make you do certain things in the normal way, but there's going to be nothing supernatural. God has to speak to you personally. That's what he wants to do. You see, Christianity is a personal relationship with the living God. Amen. It's not a religion. You have to be connected with him and receive from him the direction that you need and be able to hear him clearly. You have to learn to do that. By how? Experience. Because sometimes you miss it, sometimes you get it right at the beginning, but you get better and better about hearing and understanding. And you can, you know, this is the way we grow in the things that God wants us to grow. Okay. So, to me, this is a powerful promise. Okay. I mean, The Bible is full of powerful promises. But you know, this is God promising us things. The point is, if we don't believe in his promises, we are not going to cash out. We cannot receive from him. So there is our component of faith. I mean, we can go through the motion of praying. We can go through the motion of doing certain, saying certain things and agreeing with what the word says. But when it comes the situation that comes contrary to what the word of God says, that's the time when you have to exercise your faith, because otherwise you don't need to. You just have to keep going ahead with the things you know. And I believe that this is where really is going to make a difference in our life. What is going to make us, bring us from just a religious person that goes to church on Sunday and can get healed or anything, or can get any direction for anything, to somebody that walks in victory and is overcoming. Because this is what Jesus wants from us. Just read Revelation, the first three chapters. Okay? So there is a promise here that I want to keep reading. It's connected with the verse I started with. Isaiah 26, starting from verse 1, says, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah." You know, we're talking about Judah, it's the worshiping, somebody that's connected with God, worshiping God. All right? "We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for the walls and bulwarks." So the idea, you see, first of all, the song, you know, what the song is, something that is expressed, that we speak up, you know, singing, rejoicing, realizing. Okay. Judah is the component of worship too. So the idea, you know, there is this worship attitude that comes from the people that are going into the city, you know, that have a strong city. That means a dwelling place of, you know, safety. Okay? And salvation is wall and bulwarks, which actually, you know, if you see the Hebrew word for salvation, is Yeshua. Okay? It's, you see, the wall, the city, the strong city that we are going to go in, which is protected there, is the result of that is Yeshua, which is Jesus. Amen. All right? All right? All right, let's continue verse 2. So open the gates, that the righteous nation which keep the truth may enter. So you see, it's entering, see, keeping the truth. I mean, having, you know, these things that we are singing and rejoicing about and worshiping about, you know, we got entered in. You enter into this dimension, this the place of protection, you know, the kingdom of God. You know, you enter the kingdom by being born again. You are born again and you can get into the kingdom. Are you there? So there is a day, the place, you know, that is a safe place, that the walls and the bulwarks around it are just Jesus. All right? And the righteous nation is the one that trusts in that. All right? And then, if you read the following verse, which is verse 3, the one I started today, says, "You will keep in perfect peace, whose mind stayed in you because he trusts in you." So you can see, you know, that's the result. It's not just an isolated verse that is connected to the fact that you are in a place in which there is protection. And the protection comes from Yeshua. And the walls and bulwark around it are coming from him. And he's the one that protects you. And, you know, this is a safe place to be in. Doesn't matter what's going on. If there is tempest around, if there is waves, there are anything, you know, doesn't make any difference. You are protected there. Now, there is more. Okay? You will keep in perfect peace. If you go to the Hebrew, and this is the thing that the Lord showed me to start with, you know, perfect peace is shalom. Actually, it's repeated twice. Shalom, shalom, to say perfect peace. Okay? It's super shalom. All right? And the meaning of shalom is not just peace. Just often it's translated that, but it's much more than that. You know, shalom means safe, means well, means happy, means healthy, being prosperous, being peaceful, being whole. I mean, that's the whole package. I mean, that's salvation. All right? It includes all these things for us, and we should have kept in that place, in that city of protection, because we trust in him. All right? Hallelujah. See, we don't need to be there concerned about the weather. We don't need to be there concerned about what's going on in politics. We don't be, you know, we don't need to be concerned about it. You know, we can be relaxed. And knowing that he has put us in a safe city. Okay. I haven't finished about that. Was mind stayed in you? Now, mind. In Hebrew is yester. The meaning of that is actually form. And the implication of that is, you know, conception, is frame, is imagination. Actually, that's a word in which translated more time that way, is imagination. Mind, only one time. Work, only one time. So the idea is what you imagine is producing this. See, the way you see, they're talking about the vision. See, that's showing us the vision that we should have. Our vision is that we are in a safe city. Where Yeshua is the one that produces all these results and all this protection. Okay? And we can yet to be able not just to quote the scripture, but we have to be able to see in our mind what involved that scripture involves. Our imagination should see the implications of that. So that our view, our perception of reality around us is affected by the way what we know. Because always our perfection, our perception of what's going on is determined by our knowledge. But when you know that, you're going to have a perfect peace because nothing bugged you. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So you can see how that was connected with the 2020 that we need to get. See, we had to get 2020 vision about the fact that I don't care. I am protected.
Amen.
And he's looking after me. Amen?
Amen?
Because I trust. You know, how can you trust him if you don't see that he's your protection? The situation comes and the situation is going to affect you. But if you know, no matter what's going on, it can be wind, waves, sickness, problems, war, anything. I'm under his protection. He takes care of me.
Amen.
He provides for me. That puts you in a place in which we can move, you can move supernaturally to overcome, to walk on water. All right? Okay, so that's what really we had to learn to do. We had to learn to envision, to have the vision of what is available to us, so that our imagination is not affected by the things we see, hear, what, you know, the last news in that they said, or, you know, the newspapers, or the doctor, or whatever it is that they say. You know, they can say whatever they want to say. But we have internal information. We have supernatural information. And we know what God says. So we can stand on that without being moved, without being afraid. See, you can say, you know, we shall not be moved, you know, we are not afraid. Well, you cannot not be afraid if you see the circumstances, and the circumstances are waves, fire, you know, everything, you know, all the mess around you. That's going to affect you unless you have an image inside you that is stronger and more real than the one you see with your eyes and you hear with your ears. The idea is to get that to us to the place in which we can actually see that. And we want 2020 vision.
Amen.
And I believe that this is a good, you know, a good reminder to us.
Yes.
Every time you write 2020 now this year, you can remember that your vision is 2020, that you know beyond the physical. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is what we had to really be aware of. So we had to align our prayer, our thinking, our view of things with God's will. And we had to know God's will to be able to do that. All right? And, you know, you can read all over the place the Bible. You know, no matter where you look at, you can see what God's will is for us. You know, 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the idea, you see, is again, you know, is actually this verse, 3 John 2, says the same thing than, you know, Isaiah 26:3. I mean, it's a different context, a different thing, but actually it's exactly the same content. You know, you prosper in your soul, and automatically you are going to be at peace. And you have not just peace, but you have all the things that shalom involves. Okay. All right. So we can, for example, start seeing, you know, some of the things, some of the steps we can take for to implement that vision within ourselves. Evidently, one of the things you have to do is to know what the vision should be. If you don't know the word, how can you know what the vision should be? So this is why there should be a desire, strong desire in us to know the word. We had to seek after the word, because the word is the source of the vision that we get inside, and has to be not just in the mind, but has to be in our heart, has to be there. There are so many scriptures saying the same thing. okay, someone, Proverbs 4:22-23. I mean, everywhere. You can see that there is the same direction, the same reinforcing thoughts for us to know what to do. But I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to us, which is your reasonable service. So you see, the idea is that we have to present ourselves. We have to be making ourselves available for that to take place. Okay, offer ourselves to God. Because, I mean, you don't do that if you don't trust Him. You cannot do that. All right, so verse 2. And do not be conformed by the world, by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, you know, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the idea here is, you know, that you are not conformed. See, don't let the things, the thoughts, the ideas, the things you see and everything that people say and everything and conform you. That means form you. That means affect you, makes you, make you that way, like that. But be transformed. The word there is metamorphosis, which actually means, you know, a complete transformation. And it's, you know, not just a small thing. It's a complete change the way we are, you know, by the renewing of your mind. Okay, our mind has to be renewed. Our mind involves both, you know, emotions, will, and thoughts. We have to have the thoughts ready to think the right thing when the wrong thing comes. And you say, no, this is junk, is not true. But unless we know the difference between truth and false, then we are not going to be able to do that. Then these thoughts are going to stay in us, and they're going to start affecting our emotions and make us fearful because, well, the doctor said, I'm going to die next week. And you say, no way. Because by His stripes I was healed. You go ahead, you do it yourself, but not me. But you had to have a strong position to be able to do that. I mean, you had to believe the word more than the knowledge that this guy has or this woman has. Because unless you really trust more the word, then you are going to be affected by what you hear. If you are affected, that means you're really not believing more the other than the word. See, but only by believing the word more, then you are in the position to actually change the situation. Because it's not anymore, you know, it's just a physical thing, whatever it is. The waves, the wind, everything else are just physical thing and are submitted to the spirit world. Jesus controlled them. The apostles many times controlled it. I mean, Philip was transported. I mean, you know what I mean. All right. So that you know, and that's not the only time, not the only place. In the book of John, when it talks about the Jesus getting into the boat, that I was talking the story before, where it says that there, that when he got into the boat, they was immediately in the place they were going to get into. That means, you know, they were moved about a couple of miles instantaneously. Just read it then. I don't have the time to do it. But it's in John, I think, chapter 6. Okay. So the idea is that, you know, there is a supernatural dimension in which we had to start operating, living, experiencing. And it's available to us, and we are legally there if you are born again. Amen. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's even better. Yes. Amen. Okay? Hallelujah. I mean, there is something to be open to the Spirit of God. To get that vision, that understanding, that when we start seeing that, before, you know, we had to overcome all the training, all the experiences we had before that were limited by the world. You know, God is without limit. All things are possible to them that believe. Do you believe really that all things are possible to you, not somebody else? You know, it's easy to say, well, you know, it's a special person. No, it says all things are possible to them that believe. If you are a believer, then you should expect those things to happen for you as well, because, and we are going to see even more, but that, I believe, is the vision that God wants to have for this 2020 year, and maybe for the whole decade. We have to move in that place in which we start operating the way God expects us to operate. You know, Jesus wasn't very pleased when he found the disciples terrified by the tempest. He said, "Have faith in God." You know, the tone is not there in the writing, but I'm sure that he meant that way. I mean, he said, "What's the matter with you? I send you in the other side. Why are you doubting?" You see, they were, at that moment, probably not even, you know, doubting. They were just believing that we got it. Yeah. Do you see what I'm getting to? Yeah. See, we have the information. They didn't have all the information. They were with Jesus. They saw miracles happening and everything else, and that should be helping them to be able to have more faith. And they saw miracles happening through their hands too. So they should be able to do these things. And still, when they saw the waves, see, they were fishermen. That means they were experienced and had lots of knowledge about going fishing, and they knew that if it was a situation like that, you were done. Instead of really believing what Jesus said to them, go in the other side, you know, they believe what they were in front of their eyes. We had to learn to be able to see beyond what we can see. Because the things that we see are temporary, and the things that we don't see are eternal. Okay? Praise the Lord. Are you following me?
Yes.
See, I believe that this is the time, and this is, I really believe, you know, seeing what's going on today, there's going to be a greater and greater separation in Christianity between the people that believe that God is always the same and people that believe that God works only by psychology today. And the only thing they had to do is to teach doctrine. It's not doctrine that counts. What counts is what can you do with the doctrine you have. It's where the rubber hit the road that you see the difference. Amen? Okay. So we had to renew our mind through the Word. That's why we had to go to the Word. I mean, as much as you can. The more you do, the better it is. Why? Because that's the source of your strength. That's the source of your power. That's the source of your ability to stand firm when the situation comes. It's not just a question of singing around when everything goes fine and I shall not be moved. It's when the waves start to be big that you have to say, I shall not be moved, and you can have a glory fit. Hello?
Amen.
See, well, that's what Paul and Silas did when they were thrown in jail, whipped and bleeding on their back, and they had a glory fit at 12 o'clock at night, there praising the Lord and really not seeing the walls and possibly the fact they were going to be executed after. They were just seeing God's power working in them, and the place shook and the prison was completely broken. You want your prison broken? You had to get to that place. Somebody else cannot do it for you. I mean, sometimes they can, you know, and praise the Lord because that's we have a body and this is the way it should work. But, you know, God expects each one of us to be able to do that. It's not for some special Christians. There are no special Christians. God is not a discerner of person. He treats everybody the same. Amen. You do that. You line up with the word. Yes. You get the same result that somebody else get. Amen. If you look at somebody and say, well, this is a really special person, well, you already are worshiping people instead of worshiping God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Abiding in the Word. See, a couple more verses. I don't look on that side. I'm not influenced by what I see or hear. All right, Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he has thought in his soul, so is he. You see, the way we think in our soul, the way we see the vision we have in us is going to make a difference, okay? It's going to make us the way we are. This is why when we get the word inside us, what happens, we change. See, this is easy change. Don't try to change yourself because you cannot do that. You are built to be changed by the things that you are immersed in and do. Be immersed in the world. The word and the world will take over. Be immersed in the word of God and you are going to be filled with the word, filled with power because the word is power. The word is spirit and is life. Okay? And the other scripture is John 15:7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Amen. Hallelujah. I sign up for that contract. All right? Amen. It's clear. I mean, this is not, I mean, either God is lying or he's saying the truth. He cannot be lying because he's not a man. The Bible says that too. So he's consistent all the time. And if he said that he will do it, that means we can expect to do it. Amen. You know, if you don't expect to do it, you're not going to see it happening. Right. As simple as that. So you have to start from the place and we expect the word to be true. And then you start living according to that. In the result of that, you're going to experience that the word is truth and is powerful and can change the world, can change the physical world in ways that are impossible for man. That means can make miracles today. Now we got to a good place to stop. You have enough to think about for a week. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Let's say a little confession here. Praise you, Lord. Father, thank you for your word that clearly shows us what we can do to be filled with your power, with your abilities, with your love, with your gifts, so that we may change our life in the lives of those around us. We believe it. We stand for it. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.